There's a lot of good instructors out there. And I tell dudes, go see them all, man. Just go see everybody. There's nothing really different in what anybody else is teaching anymore. There's no magical this. There's no magical this. Like, you grab the gun, you press the lever. You know, it really is that easy. But people are looking for this very zen, deeper, whatever meaning of how to pull a lever straight back to the rear. And we tell people, like, you know, man, that 65-year-old grandmother in downtown, you know, whereverville, who picked up a rusty stolen High Point carbine that she's had forever, shot three of the five home invaders in her house. You think she knew anything about grip? You think she knew anything about sight alignment, sight picture, and fundamentals, and she had a good stance? No, dude, she got it on. Like that is a thing, right? Like, be proficient, be safe, be smart, you know, and that's about it. And learn enough. Yeah, it really is. That's it. This is nothing.
We had a conversation this weekend with one of the vendors out there, and a couple dudes were like, "I will send you some stuff." Right. I was like, "Okay, so if you send me a demo, I want to send it back to you."
Yeah.
But if you are like, "Well, we'll send you some stuff to use," if you're going to send us some stuff to use, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah.
Because one, I don't want to feel like I'm obligated.
Obligated.
Two, and you are a small business, just like we are a small business. And we would expect the same from most of our people that we work with.
Yeah.
Is like, if you want to try it out, you can try it out and send it back to me.
Yeah.
Or you can, I'll give you a deal on it, but I'm not going to straight up give it to you.
Yeah.
Right. So that works out pretty well. Do you want to do the intro, or you want me to?
I'll roll into it.
Okay.
I didn't know it was going to be the whole family here today. I thought we were going to sit down and bullshit.
Oh, yeah. We're
I'm here with Ike Stevens. You guys don't understand. This is Ike. Like, when you can show up to work in sweatpants, like, it's a real thing, man.
Like, well, during COVID, I was wearing flamingo swimsuits.
For life.
I had a blue and pink flamingo swimsuit.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's been, I mean, there's sometimes.
Flip-flops and
My first day, I was like, hey, like, is there.
Dress code?
Yeah,
just
like, what
at
do
least
want?
Wear underwear.
And Ike was like, pants. And I was like, anything, like, what, any type? He's like, no, just like pants.
Like, not your underwear. Like,
I mean, yeah.
Put on pants.
Here. I mean, like, flip flops is a little bit much because, I mean, we are moving a lot. And so all you hear is in the back. But it's
Crocs,
pretty chill.
You know, it's whatever.
Oh.
Not today, but I think Justin, for his first year here, wore Crocs every day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And we got the Hey Dude, who is now owned by
Croc.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
$2.3 billion deal, bro.
Can you imagine that for, it's mind-boggling to me for some recycled canvas shit.
These are like 75 cents to make. Like,
yeah.
And most of the money is in the shoelace.
Probably.
We're in the wrong business.
It's like PMags. All the money's in the springs at this point, or Glock. Yeah. You know, what's the money? Yeah, it's all in the springs, man. Doesn't even matter.
Well, anyways, welcome to the Big Tech's Ordnance Podcast. I'm Ike, and we're joined today with Steve from Sentinel Concepts. We got Ian and Chris on the panel as well. So, yeah, we're fresh off of Lethal Weapons 2023, and Steve's been...
I was down here teaching for the past week, and it's a great time.
Yeah, so we're just sitting down with Steve, and thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for swinging by.
Ah, dude, it's always a good pleasure, man. I love coming in here, hanging out with you guys. You know, there's always so much stuff. I go, oh, God, here it goes again. Okay, I'm going to need one of these. I'm going to need one of those. And then I look at the pile of Hodge barrels, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm just going to need seven of those and three more of these, and it's terrible. You guys are like the one-stop crack shop. It's bad. I can get everything here from vape to cigars to bourbon to guns. It's like, this is terrible.
I know I've mentioned it before, dude, but you are one of the biggest inspirations for this podcast. Because the last time you came here, and we stood in the back for an hour and a half, 2 hours, just talking. And after that, you left, and I was like, well, I just gained a ton of knowledge and was entertained for an hour and a half, and it's just me and you, and it's gone. We couldn't share it with anybody. So for that, I want to thank you, and I want to thank you for coming by today, dude, and hanging out with us and fighting the pollen, because we're all a little...
It's like, yeah, it's, at this point,
a little choked up.
It's just over it. It's like this... Everything that is available over the counter is inside of me right now. It doesn't matter what it is. I was like at the store going,
This,
can I mix all these? What happens? Is this like weird science?
Tired.
This one will keep me awake.
Steve falls.
It's like an old Huey Lewis song, you know? It's like, I want a new drug. It's like I'm not sure which one to take.
Can you smell the colors yet?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Fantastic. So you were down here doing shotgun class.
I did some low-light carbine, low-light handgun, and then shotgun.
Okay.
Did that, and just before that, I was up in Oklahoma, and then I had another client in the middle ground to stop one of the private entities, and I was down for a couple of days with those cats before this one, doing some work as well.
So this is your spring training loop?
It's nonstop, man. It's on till probably mid-June, then I've got July off, some of August off, and the next month, really month and a half, is all, like, there's one or two open enrollments in between some stuff, but it's all department trainer courses coming up.
Fantastic.
New Jersey, Illinois, like three or four in Illinois, and then they go to Alaska, Sitka, to the State Trooper Academy.
That'd be cool.
You don't drive for that one, do you?
No, I fly.
You fly for that
No, one? I do fly regardless of what most of the internet thinks. I still fly to a lot of courses.
Oh, really? I thought you were like 98% driving.
When there's ones that I just need to show up to, right? And I'm going to shoot their guns, their gear. We're doing assessments. And I'm like, 2 hours, you know, get on a plane and go.
Yeah.
When it's my work and I've got to do, you know, the 30-day loops, then I'm on it because, you know, everything doubles at that cost. I mean, just to fly to Sitka is like $900.
Yeah.
I called, you know, I was talking to the guys and I'm like, hey, man, rental car, whatever. They're like, dude, there's like 10 walkable miles in Sitka. I'm like, oh, in that case, I'm good. You know, I don't care. I'll get a room, stay, and just, you know, walk around Sitka with a rifle and a handgun. I'm like, oh, that's normal. You'll be okay. I'm like, oh, it's great. It's like Texas, but just better.
Yeah.
No pollen.
Cold. No pollen.
Snow.
And halibut. And salmon.
And salmon, yeah.
And
untouched wilderness.
It's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward just to hanging out. I built in a day or two on the front half and a day or two on the back half of that just to chill, get some fishing in.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I know I was watching Craig Douglas from ShivWorks did a class up there a couple years ago and posted a bunch of videos. And it was like, so they were having, you know, Thunderdome. But in the background was just beautiful trees and like a river and a mountain. And I'm like, you don't get that scenery.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I love that.
So for our audience members that might not know you.
That's their problem.
Yep.
I don't even care.
Next question.
So how did you get your start in the industry, man? And walk us through, because you've been in. You're one of OGs.
20 oddball years, man. So, I mean, it started ultimately a million years ago. So, 1999. And a little bit earlier, I was teaching for a local gun shop in Michigan that I had worked at part-time off and on, you know, CCW classes, blah, 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 whatever. And then I kind of caught the training bug, you know. I was like, hey, man, like I want to learn more. You know, I grew up with guns, right? The typical thing, right? You grew up with guns. I grew up shooting. I'd already been shooting, you know, shooting some little local, you know, sidebar matches before matches were cool kind of thing. And I was like, yeah, man, I need to get better at this, right? I want to do more. So, you know, that started progressing. And then that time frame, I started my first company in Michigan. Started my first training company in Michigan. Ran that for years. Dumped that when I got hired by Magpul.
That little company back then.
Those guys, yeah, nobody knows who they are. They're not important. So that was an interesting time because I'd already known Chris and Travis. You know, I'd known Travis first, actually, through some – we were going to host him when he was running his own company, Simply Dynamics.
Yep.
Or Simply Dynamic, whatever it was at that point. And then I met Chris. I was already doing some stuff, a lot of stuff with the guys from, like, Raven Concealment. I was already doing some consulting with Trigicon on projects, EOTech, you know, everybody that was local to me at the time. And then, me and Mike from Raven and that, we had went down to a class in Indiana. And Chris was there, and, you know, Mike and all the guys were down there teaching and met those cats. And I ended up getting sucked into a drill in that class. They needed a third for some goofy drill that they were running at the time. And I don't remember which one it was. And I was like, no, it's cool. You know, no big deal, whatever. And I'm like, no, Chris is just being Chris. You know, I was like, come on, man. Come on, get in here with a gun. You're supposed to be good with a gun. You know, doing all this, you know, Chris bravado shit. I said, okay, Costa, I'm about to step on you and snowball you over at this point. And so I'm like, all right, somebody give me a gun. So dude in class who had actually been a student of mine and who's a buddy hands me a rifle, you know, a couple of mags. I have no mag pouches or stuff in my pockets and whatever, and ran a drill with them. And, you know, I went down, took a class a couple of weeks later, and like big Darby Spring something Ohio that Jake from Aries Gear was hosting at the time. So I was like, cool, jumped down there, did that. Stayed for like, and it was only Chris teaching. Nobody else was with Chris. So, you know, you got 30 dudes on a line doing all this stuff. And by day three, dudes are pretty soul crushed, you know, and there was a dude having a hard time and Chris is down on the other end working with stuff. So I jumped in, gave this guy a hand because he was really going to become either dangerous or just have a complete meltdown. So I jumped in, helped the cat out. Chris is like, hey man, why don't you stay the next day? Shoot the second half class. I'm like, sure, I got 3,500 more rounds of ammo in the truck. Why not, Chris? Let's just shoot 7,000 rounds in 6 days. So I did. Did all that. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, man, I'm up in Washington State doing a gig with Costa for 5-6 days. And there it was. And then, you know, 2014, that was all done over. And that was cool. And great group of dudes and still good friends. Awesome cats at Magpul. Could not ask for a better time in life, really, to be there. It was kind of like, it reminded me, for guys that have been in the industry long enough, like the old AAC days. Yeah. Like, it was a party, man. It was great. Like, you could, it was just amazing, right? It was a great experience. It's a good time to get involved. You know, and at that point, honestly, like, that opens up the doors, right? You're at the place that really brought training back mainstream. Because before that, you had like these old videos from like Loki and whoever it was at the time and stuff like that. And then there was Magpul, you know. And then you're the fat kid with the not cool clothes, because I didn't even know what the hell Arc'teryx was in 2008, 2009. I'm like, Arc'teryx, what is this stuff with this dead like bird thing? It just snowballed from there, man. It was, I said, they even make stuff in big guy sizes? Because I'm like, I don't even know. And then I was like, yeah, they do. It's called Leaf. I'm like, a bunch of granola eating hippies. Sure, I'll buy some. Oh, my God. And life was changing, you know. But that's where it really started all for me. And then just a constant snowball at that point, dude. And it's, you know, it's been good. I've worked with a lot of great companies over the year. I've been involved in some good product development design stuff with a lot of these places and testing and going, your baby's ugly. That's not going to work on the range. And that's how you don't work with those companies anymore. When you're honest with them and you tell them that, and you tell the engineers, that's cool, man. You shoot in a test tunnel. I'm happy for you. There's a part of that process, right, though, that needs to be done. And then it just, you know, it continually snowballs. And then when you tell them their baby's ugly again and they get their feelings hurt, well, you know, here's your check. Have a nice day. See you later. Cool. Go hire somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, I'm not it. And that's what it's been like. Regardless of what Frank Wood says, because nobody likes Frank.
Yeah. He rants pretty well. I'm going to take that sound bite and send it to him.
You should. I will. I'll call him right now. We'll get one. Hey, Frank, shut up.
He's asleep. He worked nights last night, probably.
He's crying.
So the cool part is that, you know, we've talked about we almost talk about the Magpul DVDs.
Oh, yeah.
Almost every episode.
I'm not autographing them.
Dude.
Oh, damn it.
No. Sorry.
I told you. Someone for my dynamic shotgun video.
But for a ton of people, especially, you know, I think me and you are technically separate generations. I don't know. I'm, what, 12 years older than you?
Yeah.
You're 31? One now?
Yeah.
So I hit 42.
My God, to be 31 again.
I hit 42 this year. You're
33.
I'll be 53 in March.
But for like my generation, our generation, for like coming back, you know, like 2008, was that the first Magpul DVDs came out?
I think right around, like, the trailers were starting to show up, right? And that kind of thing. I think like 2009 was like when the first real, like, oh my God, bro.
Yeah.
You know?
Because I remember, you know, somebody like handing them off to me because I was kind of into guns. Not really into training, that didn't even know that existed. And now me and like three dudes are sitting there watching this DVD. We're like, what the heck? And then, because that was a total different change than what you saw at that point in time.
Up drills, snapping gun in.
Yeah. And it was just interesting to see that aspect. And then, I mean, it opened the world up to a ton of people.
Yeah.
Almost I'm not going to say like the whole industry that we're currently in is attributed to that, but there's a big part.
Oh, there's
of
a huge chunk.
A big push came from that. Yes. You know?
Yeah. And it was perfect timing. The assault weapons ban had sunset. It was gone. GWAT was full swing. Right. And then you just had that. There was just like, everybody was coming of age during it, and now we're
And now I've got kids in class. I'm like, yeah, man, I used to watch these DVDs with my dad, you know. Like oh. You know, and here they are in the class. And I'm going, it was funny too a while back. I was teaching a course up in the PNW, and I had this guy, internet celebrity kid, awesome dude, just a really good guy. And I like him a lot. He hits me up about some class stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, just drop on in. No big deal. Class is full, but there's room for you and your boss. You know, and it was Mil-Spec Mojo.
Okay. I was going to ask.
It was Mil-Spec, right? It was Don. And I love him to death, right? He's a great dude. You know, we've talked, interacted online, and he is just as happy as he is, right? Like online is him and like in person is him. He's just like that happy dude. And he's a go-getter in class, man. Like the dude hustles. Mm-hmm. Like he'll be running there shagging targets, hanging stuff, doing this, doing that. Like great dude to have in class. And we were laughing. He goes, you know, like when I was this young kid in the Marines and doing this, like we watched your DVDs every day, man. You guys were the inspiration. I'm like, shut up right now. I don't even want to hear this out of you. Like, I don't even want to talk to you right now. And I just like just go away. Like basketball pump its head. But it's just funny hearing that, right? Because, you know, years of it, and you're just like, oh.
And Don's a little dude.
He's
a good dude.
He is, man. He's a great cat. I like hanging out with that. I like seeing him in class. Like, tons of energy. Out with him, man. Nonstop meth.
Yeah.
It's like the meth factory exploded inside of him.
Yeah,
like,
total energy.
Wait till he gets older, and he's just going
to
learn.
I've talked to him a few times on the phone and did stuff with him before on the phone, and he's like, you know, he's like on patrol. Yeah. I don't know if I can say that. He's on patrol on the phone talking to me for a second, and then he's like, oh, gotta go. Just saw a car hit another car. Gotta go. She was gone.
Can I do some exciting stuff?
Yeah.
Write a report.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, that's the second time somebody almost ran me over today. I'm like, Don, you realize how tall you are, right?
They you might should wear a traffic cone on his head so people see
They might not see you. He's like, yeah, I think I need a PT. I'm good. Yeah. But, I mean, he's full of energy.
Great dude, man. Great dude.
Yeah. That's awesome. Jugging his pitcher side by side. Does he come up past your elbow?
It's like the Shaq and Kevin Hart.
It's like hanging out with Tim Heron. Yeah, kind of the same thing. He's a little guy. He's great. We got some good photos for that class. It was just funny watching. Like, he's just a good dude, good student, great guy to have in class. And like what you see is him. It's true. You know, he's one of the few cats that's pretty much that way.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Are you seeing more of the? I mean, I know we are from the customer base and social media, but it seems like the younger and younger and younger people are attending training classes and getting into this way earlier than I think used to happen.
Hi, I'm Chris from Big Tech's
Ordnance, and I'm Ian from Big Tech's
Ordnance. And today we've got the weekly update. So first off, from Voltor is the classic MER upper receivers, right? So we've got them in foliage green, black, standard black. Those were my picks. What do you got over there?
For all the wheel gun enthusiasts out there, we've started carrying some Safariland Comp 3 and Comp 2 speed loaders for J frames and K frames. So if you guys need a good speed loader for all of your revolver needs, we got some. We have the new Streamlight Wedge XT also. These come in black and FDE. Great little task light. You know, drop your keys underneath the couch. You're looking for your burrito. Good little option from Streamlight. Comes with a little lanyard on it as well.
Solid price point on those. I'll have to reference the price point on
USB-C
those.
USB-C rechargeable, and it has a deep carry pocket clip on it.
Yeah, so option.
Looks great.
Coming up, there's a bunch of classes. We've got Paradox training. Going to be across the street at the range, doing that the 27th, not this weekend, but next weekend. Anyway, lots of training events coming up. We just also posted the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, yeah, the Armors
class in May. It's up on the website. Anyway, thanks for watching.
Be safe.
Finger guns.
Yeah, absolutely is. Like one of the classes I was just teaching, there's a crew that comes in out of Iowa, and they travel together, father, son, and now their other son is involved, right? The other son is involved, the brother. And like, you know, 7 years I've seen these guys, you know, now the brother's of age, and he's in the program and at shooting with them, and it's good to see. And then there's this other half, like you get these newer kids, right? And they're new. I mean, 22, you know, I mean, kids, you know, within terms, and you get these guys and they're like, you know, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. And what it is, a lot of it too, like for a lot of them is they're like, they're the excitable crowd, which is awesome. Cause I remember being that excitable person, like, man, I'm going to do this. And they get in there and it's like, I'm like, okay, settle down. Let's just breathe a minute and take it all in, you know? And then what it is, it's like, I won't necessarily all right. It's a very small portion, but they're the collectors. And by that, I mean, they're collecting certificates, just like a lot of us did 20 years ago, 25 years ago, but there was only six dudes to go to then. Not yes. 60, right? Like when you had like the full hand deck and cards, like of certificates from like five, six places, man, you were it. Like you had it all, you know, like you've been to Gunsight, you've been to Thunder Ranch, you've been to EAG, you've been to a Louis Arbuck class and Randy Kane, you know, and people are like, who the hell's Randy Kane? You know, nobody's going to remember that name right now. And everybody's like Googling Randy Kane right now. And they're like, what does this old guy teach? Like, yeah, Randy Kane's a rock star. So, but that was it. But now they're just like, oh, I've shot, you know, we do a morning briefing class, you know, just training experience, see where guys are at. So you can kind of start this thing in your head during the brief and get everybody comfortable. And like, oh, in the past year, I've done seven courses and I've trained with blah, 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 blah. I'm like, who? Well, good on you, man. That's awesome. I have no idea who three of those seven were, you know, but yeah, but, you know, it's good to see, right? And the more that we get in that, the better off we are. Here's the question that I pose to dudes in the industry, though. Who is next? Who is the next and what is the next generation that's going to carry all this on? But are not only from the instructor level, but the student level, right? Who are the ones that aren't just necessarily the gun guys, but that are going to be proactive enough to keep this going, especially in today's political climate? And that's what I ask. I'm like, yeah, but who's next? You know, like, oh, so-and-so's going to be good. I said, no, you guys are missing the point. Anybody can teach you shit. If I can say that, can I say shit?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
You can say the fuck word. It's okay.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't remember if I could. I'm like, oh, we're not on a syndicated radio TV thing where I can't get fined.
We had Chuck on the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So. I mean, well, me and Chuck were good about it when we were at symposium. We're like, But that's it. Like, I ask, who's next? All these dudes that come out and shoot guns and enjoy this luxury and freedom and right, and they're all, yay. What are you going to do? What are you going to do to carry this on for all of us that did the fight originally before that, right? Like, I was very heavily active in stuff in my own state through the early years when we were getting shell issue, right? Grassroots stuff. Like we wrote the letters. We went to the capitals, right? In a nice way, for the most part, right? We did everything correct, right? We're not going to be on YouTube here for the next 7 years with this, but we did it right, right? We invited the senators out. We had the people out. We did the shoots. We did the family events. Like, we were active in that. Now, dudes are just like, hey, man, I got to go practice my bill drills this week. That's cool right now, dude. I'm happy for you. You have that because of these other things. But what's going to happen with them and their children? Who is going to be next? We've already seen in the hunting industry, because I used to work in the hunting industry for years, too. Like, huge decline in that. Because kids are like, oh, you know, meat's bad now. I don't know what, you know what it is. I'm like, hey, dude, man, I was 4 years old being dragged around in a duck blind, you know, with my old man and his buddies growing up. I'm like, who's next and what's next? And what are they going to do about it? Instead of just sitting on the internet arguing about the latest caliber and an XD, you know, that's where the problems are happening. And that's what needs to be addressed.
There was a really good, so we had that Lethal Weapons event, I think we mentioned earlier.
15 times. Thanks.
And, yeah. But
rub it in.
Okay. There was the crowd there was from, I mean, there were some dudes that were getting around real slow. I mean, like 70s, 80s-ish. They were walking around. They were in their just regular clothes, but they were in character.
Yeah.
Right? And there was dudes that were, you know, there were teenagers running around with their parents out there. There was a huge age range of very active individuals out there. And it was, you know, they had 700 people plus out there at that event.
Can you imagine if we had those 700 plus people being better at writing letters, talking about these things and getting it out there instead of just going out and doing ballistic shooting, which is great, right? It's fun. You should go do that. That's how you get people together. Can you imagine if you got those 700-800 people to do something else?
I hung out with the crew from FPC. There was two dudes from FPC there.
Good organization.
Yep.
Really good organization.
And then GOA was there as well with a booth actively engaging everybody. And that is definitely some organizations that we work hand in hand with. FPC, Second Amendment, SAF, Second Amendment Foundation, we're doing stuff with now. and just, you know, fighting that good fight, getting stuff, because the enemy is definitely not sleeping.
No.
You know, one couple in the industry that's very involved in like the legislative process is John and Sarah Hotman.
Yes.
I don't know if you follow them, but they're always
I've known John a long very time. Involved. You know, and that's always been the thing. That should be, you know, everybody should be. It's true. Yeah, John and Sarah do a great job of that. They really do. A lot more people should be involved in it though.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. I mean, I'm teaching in states that are currently, you know, involved in that, right? Washington,
yeah.
Oregon, like the big battleground states right now. Like, and even though a lot of people are like, oh, the Supreme Court will rule this, they'll do this. I'm like, for now, they're getting smarter about it. And we've educated them. We've given them all the answers. And that's ultimately what happens. Like, we're educating the enemy. So they'll figure it out. That's all we're doing. It's like, here's our playbook. This is what we're doing. These are the things we know through the Supreme Court and the rulings that we can get around and say, hey, you're wrong. And they'll be like, thanks.
And the goal is to stop it before it ever gets to that point. You know,
bingo.
Stop it, killed at the state level
yes.
before it even has a chance to get up there.
Yeah.
Like, don't even let that get on the
and the books. Just don't even get in your head. And that's the problem, right? It's like two counties in every state that ruin it all.
Like look at Illinois, you know?
Like yeah.
Exactly.
Chicago.
Yep.
Washington State. Seattle.
Yep. You know. Yeah, with the Chicago ban, we're not even able to send a rail, like a handrail.
Yeah.
Like, because they've worded that law so vaguely yet so precisely, right? Like
it's an accessory of...
Yeah.
That's why I just have my buddy send them to me in Michigan, and I drive over and hang out with them and give it to them. Can I say that?
Jokingly.
Allegedly.
Oh, no, I don't care. I have violated ITAR. I don't care. I won't say anything about me and Will Larson back in the day. So, like, Will, you need all these parts. I will send it all to you in Iraq, bro. I don't care. Here you go. Jokingly. No, not really.
And that dude had a lot to do with where we're at right now in AR performance
and
development.
Yeah.
He's a huge influence on Mike from Sons. You know, Mike talks about that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I knew Will back before, you know, people really knew who Will was, you know, because we're all old. I mean, I knew Will back when, like, you know, BCM, Psionics days, you know, all that stuff. And even going back to, like, 2010 era to that point, you know, and I think I first met Will online, you know, posting on, like, M4 Carbine or something, right, on the old forums. You know, forums we had those back in the day. That's how we communicated.
Oh,
it's kind of
neat. It was on the internet.
It was kind of before
Bookface
was cool, you know. So it was when you guys were still in like AOL chat rooms and stuff, doing that kind of stuff. But
that's real life.
In fact,
my away message.
Yeah.
So what Chuck said the other day to his AOL basic load at AOL still gets
emails. Yeah. I still keep my account just for like all my hotel stuff and garbage and spam stuff.
Yeah.
People are like, you still use AOL? It's like, it could be Yahoo or Hotmail or something. I don't know at this point.
We sent Tamara a revolver the other day, and she sent me her email to confirm or optic for the new Taurus.
Yeah.
And she sent me her email. I was like,
that's Tam. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I actually broke into a house with her once.
Allegedly.
No, factually. Factually. No, like broke into the house. Like, set off his alarms and figured out the alarm code to turn it off and like sitting in dude's living room. So it was funny. We're going down to do something with Oleg. This is like a million years ago. Get to the house and like Oleg's not there. It's Oleg, right? You know, he just kind of disappears on stuff and it's just Oleg. I'm like, what would Oleg's code be to get into his house? You know, because we had like the hidden key.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, the alarm is set. I don't know. Let's think about this. When was the Bolshevik Revolution of 1500, right? Or when was this? I'm like, holy shit. You know, no, that wasn't it, but we're in anyway. You know, take the key, sitting there in the house, the alarm finally turns off, you know, and then like the police finally show up an hour and a half later, right? I've got food going. There's four of us sitting in the living room. They show up. Oh, no, buddies. Oh, okay, bye. And they leave. I'm like, there's four dudes sitting in the cat's living room, you know? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, literally just broke in with the key. It was a good time. It was kind of fun. Shenanigans back then.
What are you seeing in the industry right now? What is piquing your interest when you see something that's new?
How old is it? Literally, like, how old is that? Like, that's cool, dude. Those were 30 years ago.
Yeah.
It's just back in another color, form, or fashion. We've talked about this, you know, before and other things. It's like the only thing in the industry really that is a race right now is technology on lights and red dots and lasers. That's it. Nothing has changed. Your pistol that you pick up today that you've bought, your whatever, whoever gun, is no different than, you know, a 1911 basic gun, you know, since, you know, the 1900s. It's nothing different. It's just a new material. Some are plastic, some are metal. It's a striker-fired gun. What's new? What's new between a Gen 1 Glock from 1980-whatever to a Gen 5 47? What's changed?
Not much.
Very little, right? Take an AR-15. What's changed in an AR-15 since the 1960s?
Some metal, some coatings.
Some metal, some coatings, a different gas system.
Slightly different way of geometry on parts.
Yeah, that's it, right? And that's for longevity.
Yep.
And that's all it is. Nothing has changed, man. Nothing's changed on an AK since the 1950s, right? I mean, it's all the same stuff. I can take this AK apart here from XYZ, take this. I can take one of my 1970 something Colt SP1s, get the adapter pins from large hole, small hole, whatever, and I'll throw a Sun Zupper right on that gun. We see departments do it all the time with all their old Dermode guns and 1033 stuff guns. Like, some of them might not do it correctly. Hey, man, you just created this illegal SBR, just full auto. It's okay. We're the government. I understand, but there's still things. But you know what I'm saying, right? Like, nothing has changed. The metallurgy's gotten better. Some of the parts, you know, the parts are getting better. The coatings are better. We're smarter about how we do it. Nothing has changed. None of it's new. None of it's exciting. Until we get, like, guns that shoot, like, lasers and plasma pistols and, like, yeah. Give me a light that actually, like, recoils and has a gun built in. I don't know.
Right? Yeah.
Like, give me something cool, like cell phones, right? We got these things. Yeah, watch Star Trek 1960-something. Communicators, like, hey, man, that was a cell phone.
Yeah.
Some engineer just was like, I can make that. Watch this. He's probably sitting at home with a bottle of bourbon in the 1960s watching this thing, like, I'm going to go make a cell phone. I don't know what it is, but no, we're in a technology race on lights and lasers, I think, and optics. That's the biggest one still right now that everybody's trying to race to. You know, that's the big one. It's also low-hanging fruit. It's already been done.
You know? Yeah, because you got great optics out there. Now the race is just to make it smaller. And like that, and that's exactly
that's it, right?
Make smaller, it smaller, last longer.
Exactly.
Smaller, lighter, brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which you'll never be.
Same. One day, maybe.
Someday, maybe.
It's pretty bright.
I just got to keep eating my vegetables.
Asparagus. All the asparagus.
Makes your pee smell.
It's okay. It's good for you. It doesn't matter. But that's where we're at, right? There's nothing new in the industry at all. Bolt action rifles. It's a better barrel, better action. It's stronger, better, lighter.
Yeah.
That's all we're after right now. Same thing with optics. I mean, let's be real. There's certain optics that haven't shown up yet that we saw 3-4 years ago in rifle scopes that a company still hasn't been able to get right yet. And you're like, come on, guys, you've been making these things for 100-plus years. It's not that hard. But, you know, client specs, whatever it may be, nothing is exciting. Nothing's new. You know, the internet finally broke this past year when everybody was seeing, you know, the Glock carbine in those pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though that's not the rifle that won the contract. What are you guys all excited about? They've had that gun since 1994, literally. It's ridiculous, you know. And then they're like, but everybody ignored the optic. That was on that gun until finally somebody's like, hey, what scope is that? That looks like a so-and-so. I'm like, I'm just like going, yeah, I had that optic in my hand 3 years ago, dude. It's like, it's pretty cool. You know, like, oh, that looks like a so-and-so. It's gotta be this. I'm like, going, nope. Nope. And then finally somebody's like, oh yeah, no, I saw that. That was a Vortex when we were down at the solicitation. You know, I'm like, yeah, man, they made that scope for that contract. You know, it's a pretty cool scope. We've got a shorty 1-10. Everybody's like, man, that's just amazing. I'm like, yeah, look up IOR, Vidalia, or whatever they were, you know, 2008 era. They had a 1-10, you know, and then you would go and you'd start tracking that. And you go, hey, man, March Optics made a shorty 1-10, 1-8, super shorties that are absolutely phenomenal, like the best glass you've ever seen in your life. They make Schmidt and Bender look like a Tasco. And people are like, what? I'm like, yeah, man, like, fact, their glass makes Schmidt and Bender like you're looking at a Tasco. People are like, I've never heard of them. I said, that's because you're not an F-class shooter. You're not running a fixed 80 power optic. Those dudes want a fixed 80 power optic with the best glass available. Oh, dude, it's wild. Mark my words. You're going to want some of those scopes. just telling you right now.
On the development side, I don't know if you can talk about this or not, because I know you've worked with Vortex before. Yeah. Or do you still –
We're still friends. The deal with Vortex is always a handshake. Here's kind of what's going on deal right now. Yeah. Adam Maxwell and a bunch of the guys over there are pretty awesome cats. They came into a course of mine, brought the 1-10s, the original Razor 1-10s to a course, shot them. You know, we signed the NDAs, do whatever. It's a scope. I mean, it's cool, bro. It's a glass. It's awesome. But, you know, and that's how we kind of became friends. And we did some work together. And I helped them get some product into some other places that they needed to get in the doors on. So it's good.
Do you think on some of this stuff that technology is changing faster than they can get it fielded? And by the time they take that design,
we're at next level. Yeah. Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Absolutely 100%. That's like automobile technology. You know, it's 7 years, 10 years on development of engines, transmissions, whatever it is, prototyping, all this stuff. And then, oh, we got to learn how to plug the car in now.
Yeah.
Damn it. The one thing I will say about Texas that is cool, that is amazing, every Tesla parking spot in my hotel was filled with diesel trucks. I was like, that's America right there. I've got a great picture of that. You know, that was awesome. Like every spot for Tesla plugins. And the poor one dude that had a Tesla, like on the very end spot that had no thing. He's like stretching the cords around all the trucks. I had to plug him in his car and he's got his car kind of nosing sideways. I'm like, I just get a set of chains out of that F-350 and drag that thing into traffic. I don't care about him. But that's where we're at though, right? Yep. The technology catch-up races. And a lot of the technology that we have looked at or we have needed is already here. It's in aerospace and medical. Medical especially. If you look at medical, we can run a camera through your body.
Yeah.
I mean,
through your butthole.
I was just going to say, that's why you should eat more asparagus and broccoli. True. It's good for you, right?
It's true.
But that's the thing, right? We can run a camera through your veins, man. Mm-hmm. But we can't figure out a perfect 1-6, 1-8 with a great eye box?
Well, all of a sudden... Now, that camera thing you brought up, now all of a sudden that Hornady and Vortex bullet
thing, right? Remember that?
That was so
good. That was one of the best April Fool's industry. People are like, is that a... I was like, oh my God, you people are taking this serious. It's like a laser-guided bullet bomb thing that you can like plug into your iPhone and watch. Like, stop it. Just stop.
So I was talking to Scott Javens from Hornady. We were hanging out the other day, and he was saying like how many calls they got from like departments and stuff. They're like, we want this. Like,
we want it for accountability. We can get.
They're like, it doesn't exist. And they're like, no, we saw the video. Like, we.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, people were adamant
that it's ruining lives.
Yeah.
Dude, they had an absolute customer service nightmare when they made the video where they had the ammo machines spitting out T-shirts.
Yeah.
Oh.
You remember that?
Oh,
that
dude.
Was an absolute nightmare for them. From what the internet said, at least, that people thought they were really producing T-shirts instead of ammo. And you're like, first of all, it doesn't work like that.
Here's the other thing you have to remember. These people have guns.
It's everybody's
just saying, dude, it's the internet. Don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. It is the internet. It's not real life. It's okay.
I've got a few ideas for April Fool's jokes. I got to hit you with.
Oh, you should have them all. You should have them all.
I mean,
we'll get Chris's keyboard warmed up for him.
Yeah.
It'll be awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any specific questions for Steve?
What's the best? Because
here it comes.
I just bought a 1301, and you're the shotgun, shotgun man.
Oh, you did.
What light should I put on it?
What is your role of the gun? House gun, play, you know, whatever.
House gun, maybe class end of the world, gun,
zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Put an X300 pistol light on it.
Okay.
It's a shotgun, man, right?
Yeah, like,
you need a light that's going to do X, Y, Z, depending on your role. And here's the thing. Do you even need a light on it, or do you just want a light on it? Does it ever come out of the safe and get loaded with shells and stuck in the corner of the bedroom?
That's literally where it is right now.
X300 pistol light, man.
Okay.
Put it on a – get the air it is set up, whatever
I'm
it is.
On that.
Yep, whoever it is you're getting done. Get like a Midwest Industries or somebody's 45-degree M-lock mount.
Okay.
That'll go in that slot and like can it over 45 degrees, slap a pistol light on it, toggle, keep it on the left side. If you're a right-handed shooter, life is good. That's all you need.
Boom.
It's not hard. And hopefully your 1301 lasts longer than my last two. So, Knock on wood. But you probably haven't shot like 6,000 rounds of slugs and buck through it. No. Okay, cool. Got it. Yeah.
Getting there.
And you got it used across the street.
I got it used for across a great price at the BTO.
At the BTO.
Range
and gun
training
shop.
Center. Yep.
Training center. It's awesome.
For all your use gun needs.
Yeah, that was so funny. The Thursday, Jake texted on the Friday, or our Facebook chat. He's like, Steve Fisher's here. I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, I just stopped in, bro. It's like I'm coming over. I'm hanging out. I'm seeing what's going on in the shop, dude. It's awesome. Like, I love it. I love that shop, though. It's really cool. Like, I get to visit a lot of gun shops right across the country because it's like what I do, right? I'm like, I'm bored. I'm driving for like 5 days or whatever. I'm like, get off the freeways, go through back towns. I'm like, gun shops. And then I get in there and I'm like, oh, this is going to cost me money. Like, I'm like, hey, you've got a used, you know, whatever, XYZ. And it's like, I'm not in there looking for cool kid guns, right? I'm looking at old lever guns, mm-hmm. old 22 rifles, like, oh, you've got a Browning BLR 22 lever action, blah, blah. Yeah, I'll take that. Just fill out the paperwork. Give it to me. I don't even care. I just want that gun for no particular reason. Oh, you've got this. I had a shotgun like that when I was a kid. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Just dumb stuff like that, right? Yeah. Old lever guns, 22s, fun guns, man. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. I don't care about ARs. ARs are stupid. How many black, green, and silver tan rifles, FDE, can you have, right? It's like all of them.
Yep.
Because why not, right? You got walls full of that. And then you get your buddies over in the gun room, you know, and we're all hanging out like this, you know, bourbon and whatever. And you're just like, oh, my, but let me show you these. This is the safe of 22s. You know, and they're like, that's like a 39A Marlin Golden Boy takedown from 19. Like, yeah, man, that's a cool gun. Like, dude's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, these are boring, bro. These are a bit like taking a 22 out and going to the range is just fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, man. It's like, I want to take out my little stupid Ruger Bearcat 22 with the changeable cylinders that I've had, you know, for a million years. It doesn't fit my hand at all, but I'm like, that was cool. I didn't hit shit, right? But that was fun, right? Like, I want to go shoot fun guns. And that's the stuff I go buy. That's fun for me. I have a collection, like, speaking of weird stuff like that, of old Savage campers, the over and under guns that were like 22-410, yeah. 223, 20 gauges. Like, I used to buy those like crazy, and now they've just skyrocketed. They're like $700-$800 for that thing. I'm like, dude, I was buying those used at like pawn shops and that for $200-$150 yeah. bucks back in the day. But I've got like five or six of them, all the calibers, a couple different collections. Like, these things are so heavy and so stupid.
I've got a Savage single shot 223 with a 12 gauge,
yeah,
on the bottom barrel,
yeah.
And
those 24s, man, were awesome, dude.
Killed a bunch of coyotes and deer with, dude, that when I was a teenager.
I used to run one of those on a trap line when I was a kid, when I would trap, you know, muskrats, raccoons, whatever it was, coyotes. I always had one of those as a trap gun, you know, for my trap lines. And it was just a 22 pistol when I got old enough to, you know, carried a 22 handgun around a lot in trap lines being a kid before, you know, we knew what we were doing. It's, you can't do that. I'm like, been doing it since I was like 16.
Yeah.
You know, nobody cared back then, right? No, nobody really cared. But yeah, it's like, those are cool. Nylon 66s.
Yeah.
Remington nylon 66s and 77s, dude. I'm like, cracking those. Love those. This is the first gun I ever got was a nylon 66. So, you know, there's a love affair with those things, man. It's like, go buy fun guns, man. All this other stuff you got, just go buy fun guns.
If I had like disposable income when I was 17 and 18, or I can't go buy a gun at 17.
Yes, you can. Don't worry about it.
Like 18 and 19, when you walk into, you know, one of the old gun shops or whatever, and I was just like, I want one of those, but I don't have any money. I want one of those, I don't have any yeah. money.
If I would go back in time right now, I'd go back to the 1980 gun show era.
Yeah.
When I could buy H&K's rifles for $600-$700 sitting on the tables, and, you know, just tons of them. I'd be like, yeah, I would go back for one day. And buy every 91, 93, 94 PSG, whatever I could find, and I would have them all.
I mean, just look at the price of like a Mosin or an SKS now.
It's dude, we used to buy SKSs price. For $49, $50 a gun.
Yeah.
And if you bought a case of them, right? Yeah. If you bought a case of them crate. At the gun yeah. show full of Cosmoline, right?
Yeah.
Just a wood crate full, you never looked at them, they'd give you a case of like ammo with it, like the most nastiest, corrosive,
yeah.
found in a hole in Vietnam ammo, right? Somewhere. And they would get like, dude, you would buy cases of those things at the gun show all yeah. day long. Like, you had idea why.
I want an SKS, but I don't want to spend $700.
No, they were 50. They were like 59 yeah. bucks, dude.
It like great. Hurts me. Like,
paratroopers, yeah. SKS paratroopers with the spike bayonet come out of the bottom. Because yeah. then the only thing the spike bayonet was good for was when you're done shooting it, you stuck it in the ground. So you could go back, get water, and do your stuff. And you come back in line with all your stripper clips. Like, yeah. I got this all day. Stop it.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
It's not a Mosin's $300 or $400 now.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I dig that. I just realized that that flag board is the Warrior's Heart one.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. You know, Spooner guys, great dudes, man. Great program. Yeah. That's another one. That's awesome. But dudes definitely help out and be involved in that and SOCF.
Yeah.
That's huge. Which you guys are huge supporters of.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I've got to update the running total.
Yeah, on the website. I think we're over 300.
Yeah, probably.
Nice.
So on the website we have the roundup program. Yeah. Basically, you can donate $1, $5, or $10, or $20 or whatever, and we match that. So since we started the program like 2019, I think we've donated over $300,000 through that program.
That's awesome.
So
really, that's great. Really awesome.
Yeah, both those programs. Absolutely worth it.
Yeah, I'd love to get Tom Spooner.
Yeah.
On here sometime.
You can get Tom on here. You can do that.
And have them sit down, or we go down there and do some stuff.
They're not far.
Yeah, I mean, really awesome.
3 hours
programs that they've got going on.
Yeah, that'd be great. What else is good? What else?
I don't know. We've got a lot of stuff going on. Mike, you got any specific questions for? I was fixing to say. I know you do.
Oh no, here we go.
I know you posted on the internet.
Get at least one from here. Give somebody a shout out. Let's see here.
It's one of those things that we've meant to do this whole time.
Hey, J.R. Ray.
Who's that guy?
When are you releasing a cookbook?
Never.
How was deer season this year?
Deer season was brutal for the deer. They all died. Everything died this year. It was brutal for the deer, not for me. It was a really good season. I shot a lot of deer this year. I had my deer. I had a couple of my donation deer to programs like the veterans and hunger sportsman programs and that. And then got an elderly couple down the road that in the farms that I know, and don't got them two deer. At least one had it all ground up for them.
Nice.
Some stew is what they wanted. And I take care of myself, take care of a bunch of others. Cause I'm lucky enough, right, to be able to do it. Right. And I'm lucky enough to have the places and the ability to go do that. So it's always help others. Right. I only need so many deer.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's a real thing. It's always enjoyable when I can say, hey, I'm going to donate this one. Going to donate this one. Going to donate this one. Get this one for such and such family. So yeah, that's what I deal with a lot of.
I know you do a lot of handgun hunting. Would you use a lot this year?
Whew, man, 10 millimeter for sure this year. Chambers Custom 10 mil that I had Joe build me a couple years ago. Used a Nighthawk Predator 10 millimeter, an old nickel 6-inch model 29 44 mag.
Nice.
That was kind of awesome. Smoked one with that again. So the funnest gun this year, though, the gun that I could not put down this year, but that I had to, was I got a Rossi 92R. In 357 Magnum.
Okay.
Threw a Vortex Spark Solar red dot on it. Came in, the guy's like, what are you going to do? I'm going to shoot deer with this gun. What is wrong with you? It's a 357 Mag. I'm like, settle down, hero. I got this. I think I know something about ballistics. It's okay. And so some, industry buddies were in the group chat, like everybody and their ammo manufacturers and all this stuff. And like, what are you going to shoot? I'm like, hold on. And like, I'm looking on a shelf. So, 357, 38. I'm like, American Eagle, 158 grain jacket and soft point, $20 a box at the time. You've got boxes of stuff laying around. Everyone like, yeah, that'll work. He's like, what? You're not buying Buffalo Boar or Double Tap? Or I'm like, no, dude, it's a big chunk of lead. It's jacketed soft point. It hits things. It mushrooms. They die, right? Took it out, zeroed it, 2-inch groups at 50 yards. And I'm like, yeah, cool. That's all I need to kill a deer. I'm good. And opening day, I'm sitting there. I'd already smoked the big seven pointer on the one farm that I wanted to kill with a handgun, get him out of the food chain. Almost 70 yards on that guy. Whack, boom, dead, done. Like, I'm done. I'm going home. Kind of thing. I go home, grab the gun, go to the other property near the house. I'm like, shh, shh, yeah, it's on now. And this big girl steps out like 50, 55 yards. I was like, if you only knew what's coming. And like, she literally just capsized like the Titanic. It was great, right down to the bottom, man. They were all done for. And she just flopped, right? I was like, well, that was pretty cool. And here come another one. I was like, oh, yeah. Shh, shh. Next one gets it. I'm like, I better stop. I'm just going to be like, this is going to look like the shootist, right? Or something like that. Or,
one tag of the limit
gun smoke, I'm just going to be able to. Yeah, no, it was over with. And, like, Costa thinks he's cool shooting lever guns. Like, sorry, bro, I'm actually killing shit with lever guns. Keep playing cowboy shooter, Chris. It's okay. I got your number. But I can do that because me and Chris are still buddies, so it's good. But, yeah, you look silly. It's Chris, so I can do that to him. But yeah, man, that 357 lever gun from Ross, he was just baller. You know, nice. It was like, couldn't get a Marlin. You know, Ruger still doesn't. I mean, I've got some old Marlin lever guns that I've killed deer with, but like, I haven't killed one with this gun, so I need to kill one with this gun. 4570 lever gun this year is fun. That's always great. You know, 146 years of lead can't be wrong of killing stuff, man. You're it's just great.
Shooting a fridge at a deer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
a small Volkswagen fly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. It's like, was that a Prius? It moves about as fast as a Prius, too.
Especially if you get, like, if you suppress it. Oh, so I've got an old Marlin with a whatever silencer kit when it is.
Yeah, no matter, whatever, one of those that, yeah.
The 45 caliber, the Omega or something, Omega 45, and shoot like a 550 grain, just straight lead bullet. Dude, that thing is like, and then you, so like, quiet. Shooting it at the range, you'll hear it's like, pew, and then thwack, when it's like, just like a fridge, like, it's impacting. Awesome. It's crazy.
You've got the time to, like, pull it down and wait for the bullet.
You could almost run down, pace the target, smoke right while you're catching the bullet kind of thing. Yeah, it's cigarettes are bad for you.
Yes,
stop they are. It. You should vape. It's better. Anyway,
vape like an adult.
Sissy. It's called cigars. Do man things.
Oh, last time I smoked was here with this man, and I puked my brains out.
You're such a girl. Shave your beard,
dude. we're having a beer. We're at the old warehouse. We're having a beer. Ike pulls out a cigar, some cigars. And it was Jake, Ike, and myself. Smoking it. I'm driving home and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't feel good. And my wife's working downtown. She's like, hey, you know, stop and get something for dinner. Okay. And I'm like walking through HEB and I swear I'm like fucking green. And I'm like just grabbing stuff as fast as I can. Grab like three extra bags in case I puke in my car. I get home, let the dogs out, and I'm
so
like,
good.
I think I'm good. Nope, not good. Run to the bathroom.
And go.
Yeah, it was not,
I made
not good.
SHOT Show a couple years ago before the pandemic of doom and death. I'd rented a Barrett True Exodus. And, you know, talking, sitting there, BS about something. And, you know, I threw in like a couple of pouches, right? Because I'm like, oh. It's like, what are those? I said, there's these. Yeah. Sure, I'll try one. He messages me like 30 minutes later. He goes, dude, I'm literally in the bathroom puking right now. So good. I'm like, good. Ask God for forgiveness. So it was so good. That's what he said too.
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome.
My first dip story is like that too. Yeah, we'll tell that next podcast.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yesterday, when Josh rode out to the ranch with me so he could drive the U-Haul back, and we're hitting Sealy. And he puts a big dip in, and now he's starting to look for a spitter in my wife's car. And I look over at him, and I'm just like, hey, dude, do not fucking leave that in my car.
Yeah. He's like, so awesome.
Oh, yeah. And now I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, did he take it out?
In the car,
because I definitely did not check this morning before I left the wife's car.
Oh, you're done.
So
I'm going to
be staying at Josh's house tonight.
Or at least for the next week or two.
Yeah.
No. I told somebody jokingly, I think JR's coming. I thought about doing a cookbook. I really did, man. But then I looked at it and went, yeah, it's just like everything else in the industry. It's already been done. Like, go look at your grandmother's recipes. You know, and that's the thing. Like, I've got this metal card recipe box, right? Recipes, generations of stuff. And I went, one of these days, I was like, I better do it now. Like, I took all those recipe cards and, like, wherever Kinko's, whoever, whatever, you know, like, scan all these, digitize and put them on everything, you know, give me a file of them, you know, give me the whole list, you know, laminated them all, you know, the whole nine yards. And I can just put those away in a safe or something, you know, and just have the actual recipe cards and that. But yeah, man, like, cooking's a fun downtime, dude. That's like, that's what I enjoy to do. It's like, I get back home and I'm like, I have all these dead cows and deer and, you know, chickens and pigs and lamb in the freezer. And I'm like, yeah, I need to go do something that's just not industry related.
Yeah, it's fun.
Cooking's fun. I enjoy it.
It's definitely, we all throw down a little bit here and there.
The best thing about it is it doesn't matter how bad you screw it up. It's meat and it's fire, right? Yeah. Like, as long as like, I've made a lot of dog food in my life. Like, I'm not going to lie, right? Experimenting. Cause like, grandma's recipe can't be right. Because grandma was never wrong. But like, no, that recipe can't be right. I'm going to do this instead.
I
guess she was right. I'm going to hear about this when I see her when I'm dead.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. It's like, yeah, that's really screwed up. I'm like, I'm sorry. Put that away. Grandma was right. I put it back in there.
When your wife was gone, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you sent us the picture. Married?
Yeah, somehow. I don't know how.
You sent us
it's
a picture.
It's number two, so it's the first one didn't work out.
I wonder why. I mean, you're puking.
He sent us a picture, and it was a iron skillet, and the hunk of meat in it took the whole skillet.
I bought a prime chuck roast.
I thought it was a steak. I was like, damn, he went all out. All Ian is eating is this
okay,
steak.
Let's talk right now. There is no such thing as prime chuck roast. That's like a marketing pitch,
it's
dude.
True.
It's scrap meat. It's okay.
It was delicious, though.
It is. Did you cry when you got that tattoo?
No, I didn't. Okay,
just making sure. Because that first cigar thing, you're kind of in question here, bro. I'm like,
what happens?
Jesus. Terrible.
And next podcast, when we pick on Ian again.
Next podcast, we'll talk about Ian puking when he tried dip for the first time.
We should do like a Comedy Central roast.
Oh.
And just
I'm still there.
Roast each other.
That would be great. That would involve a lot of bourbon.
And yeah. We've got it. We got some good stuff there too.
I was watching all the comments, you know, and I'm just laughing, going through the scrolling thing. I'm like, oh my God, I hate people, the internet. I'm like, why'd you break a shotgun? Because I actually took it out and use it and just don't take pictures of it on Instagram. all the fun stuff, man. It's always great to watch the interaction. And this is like the one thing we often talk about, right? The internet is the best and worst thing in this industry.
Yeah.
It is. There's so many people that just have no clue about most any of it, right? Like, they're the biggest drama queens in the world. The gun community as well is more woke than the left. Let's be real. They really are. One, like fact, right? The gun community is just as bad as everybody that they hate.
Yep.
That they absolutely are. And that is like the dumbest thing in the world. I'm like, oh, well, this is like, hey, man, you sound no better than them. It's just great to watch it all burn down most of the time on the internet. You just go...
I've said it before, there's just all these little groups. There's, you know, the people that train, the people that only shoot ski, the people that only hunt, and everybody hates each other, but if we were all friends.
And Steve will go instigate on every post and just leave.
He that's the only thing you do anymore. It's all stupid. It's all dumb.
Steve's like, I don't have cell service. I'm driving.
Sorry. See you later. But yet I can talk to a Martian Land Rover or something, right? But I can't get signal reception in the middle of Wyoming. You want to talk about it annoying?
You know what's annoying is like where we live. Like,
I live fucking 20 minutes away and I don't have fucking cell service.
Isn't that horrible?
Yeah.
It's right by the water tower on Fish Creek.
Yeah.
I lose service every time. Every day.
Yeah. I'll have people call me there and they're like, Aiden the other day. Yeah. She's like, I called you, and it went straight to voicemail. I was like, I was in the dip on Fish Creek.
Yeah. If you would have called me 3 minutes later, you would have got me.
Yeah.
I get better cell service in the woods of the UP of Michigan than I do in my own house, right? And it's ridiculous. But so they just laid fiber optic. Just got fiber optic now. And like they were literally in my house putting it in while I was walking out the door for this road trip. I'm like, hey, man, shut the door. Give the dog a couple of treats before you leave. And like, I'm out. They're like, what? Yeah, I got to go. You guys are taking too much time.
That's basically the only way we can get cell service at our house is we got fiber ran. And then we have Wi-Fi like all over the house.
The Wi-Fi is horrible.
We have an outside one too.
Yeah.
So like it'll broadcast so we can go like outside the house and talk to.
Yeah, my booster, all that stuff. Like, now I'm like, oh, wait, we got. Because like I was ready to pull the Starlink pin, right? Because like I was up at Chuck's place, you know, be some Chuck, you know, I'm like, dude, this is like, you got all this, like your internet is amazing. I guess. Yeah, man. It's that Elon Musk money, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't blame you. That's great. You know, cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, and then they're, you know, they're telling us in the neighborhood, hey, you know, we're getting, I'm like, what? I'm like, good, because I'm not spending that kind of money for Elon Musk money. I mean, I like Elon Musk, but I'm not spending
it. If I were to call 911, I don't know if like my call would
so it's 911. It's really easy to call.
Well, I don't know. I can hit it on the phone. I just don't know if it would work.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Stop it. Just get in your truck and hit your OnStar button. You'll be fine.
That's actually not a bad idea.
Jesus, that. You're terrible at this.
Really, that's why you're here. You're teaching me things, you're Steve.
A tribalist tips with how to survive suburbia with a...
Oh, my God, man. Let me tell you.
And I know you got to get on the road here because you got to go see the boys down there.
Yeah, I'm going to go run down to Suns
today.
Oh, nice.
Start some shenanigans there.
Yeah.
Stir the pot.
So what do you got coming up for the listening audience?
More bourbon and anger and hate, and that'll be good.
It's a good time.
I'm down with that party.
More deer killing.
Cigars for men.
I mean,
I'll get you some Purple Owl grape stuff or whatever if you want. No, you know, it's
delicious.
God, you would. Oh, my head hurts so bad right now. No, you know, I'm on the road here coming up again still for the next few months. I've got a lot of, like I said, over the next couple of weeks, a lot of department agency trainer stuff going on. So that probably makes me a bootlicker according to the internet or something now, I guess. I don't know, right? I'm like, you're supporting them. They're trying to take your way. I'm like, shut up. It's my course, you know. So I've got a lot of that coming up. There's some projects in the works, you know. I'm going to go down to Suns. We're going to finalize a couple things there, see some stuff. Shotguns. We finally finalized the last sight designs for the shotguns with Van Camp for the sight system with those guys that have been working on for a while. So we got that. So you'll probably see a 870 shotgun thingy, Sentinel branded 870. Cool. Awesome. That's good, gun that's not going to have a 10-inch length of bull stock because those are stupid on shotguns.
You going to be out at Revolver Roundup?
I'm not going to be at Revolver Roundup this year. I'm actually teaching that week of that, but we are going to be at the second Thunderstick event that they're doing this year, Summit. That's going to be in Vegas this year.
Yeah, we're working.
That I talked to
Cody.
DB.
DB.
Yeah.
Likes Daryl. Nobody likes Daryl.
We'll be out there in some form or fashion. You'll see. You might see Ian out there.
Yeah, that'd
be
awesome. Going to Revolver Roundup this year and then.
You'll dig it. Revolver Roundup's always a good time.
Yeah, it'll be my first one, so I'm super pumped about that.
You'll like it. It's always a good time. I mean, you know, it's usually DB, you know, Wayne Dobbs, all those guys. Yeah,
Chuck.
Chuck Haggard, another great dude. Like, love Chuck Haggard to death. He's like my other spirit animal because we hate everything as well. So I love talking to Chuck. You know, we'll get messages. I'm like, oh, my God, yeah, I know. I get it. You know, that kind of stuff is always fun. Like, revolvers are cool again. You know, what's old is new kind of deal. It's like, and here's the whole reason, I think, for a lot of this, right? People are bored with what they already have. They've already done the gamut of courses. They're already an expert with their carbine.
I'm not their an pistol. Expert.
I know. That's why I touched you.
Now I am.
Through osmosis, bro. You're good. It's like Green Mile.
Don't watch it.
You'll be okay. Dude, I just watched that over the weekend. Great movie.
That's a chick flick. But, you know, that's just it, right? What's old is new, and people have had these things laying around forever, so they want to play with them. They want to get familiar. Like,
carry handles and revolvers.
Dude, man. I'm all about that A2 life, man. I'll, and A1s. I'll bring carry handles back hard, man. I'll shoot a snot at some muskets and carry handles.
Do it.
We've got some on order.
Nice. I know. There's some coming.
You should teach a carry handle class.
I'm going to do green dots because red dots are so, you know, 1970s.
The green dot operator course.
Green dot operator course.
Everybody's be like, what the fuck does he mean by that?
Do I actually have to have a green dot? Yes, you do.
I'm going to edit this out and we'll make the meme for April Fool's Day.
Green dot operator course. Yeah. There you go.
We'll do it. I'll get it over to Jack and. I'll get it over to Jack and Keith, and we'll push it in an email.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no, then Steve will actually have to.
No, then I'll actually have to like, buy some dots that are green, which I think I have two or three at this point. Hey, Aimpoint, listen, can you build a green T2 or an M4S or something? Like, I could get that done. Like, I could call Cam and have that probably made. But that's the cool stuff, right? Like, man, I just want to go shoot a dumb gun anymore, right? Like, I want to go shoot a wheel gun again. I want to go have some fun with the guns. And that's just the whole point, right? But I've got it. Might as well learn to use it because you never know where it goes in life, right? Like we could be back to 1911s, wheel guns, shotguns, and lever guns in the next decade.
That's true.
Fact.
You know, so it's not a bad idea, you know, and if you got grandpa's wheel gun in the safe or something, one of your dad's mom's guns, or go take it out and shoot it. Like, I've got a couple wheel guns still that I love to shoot besides hunting, you know. I mean, that's what I started I cut my teeth on, you know, with a Model 10 Smith & Wesson, realistically. They're still fun. They still hurt people. They're still viable. It's not my first choice.
158 grain lead round nozzle.
Look, get a man gun, 41 mag, 3-inch Smith, round butt, woo, bobbed hammer. Yeah, man.
Oh, he's getting me all tingly.
Your life will be changed.
Where can people find you at, Steve?
Nowhere, hopefully.
On the road.
On the road, just call me. Hey, girl, slap in my DMs. We'll be all right. On the internet, you know, SentinelConcepts.com, on the book face, on the... you know, on Instagram, like all things Instagram now, you have to like type everything out because they've completely shadow banned the entire gun industry. Do that. Find me on the Big Tech's podcast, a couple other ones, you know, just bouncing around. I dig these ones. These are always fun. We get to sit down in person.
Yeah.
So just be on the phone and, you know, these are way better. And then there's Ian because
Hey, you usually have good cell service when you're in your car, though.
That's because I've got the booster in the truck, you know, that can get Wi-Fi in the truck and do podcasts when I'm driving. It's so much easier because I'm always driving.
Or when you're doing your lives.
Yeah. Road Rage Lives are always fun. Road Rage Lives are always the best. I think the best one ever that was like the most requested redo was the random, like, it was like Sirius XM Roulette. You just hit the search button, close your eyes, and like push a button. Oh, man. Like, oh, and then you start singing that song, right? Like everybody's, you know, like, oh my God, I remember that song. And I spin the dial, man. That's always a good time. That's usually like 4:30 in the morning, you know, and you're like barely awake. And you're
two monsters deep.
Fifth monster at that point. Three cans of Copenhagen in, because it's in your eyelids at this point. To keep them open. You're just like, Chris is going, I remember that stuff. Oh, yeah. And you're like, oh, just throw some of that in there. And you're like, why do I do this? I don't need to do this. I could just stay at home. And you're like, I got to be in class in 4 hours. I'm not even going to bed. So it's just going to be okay. I'm going to go ride the hotel, dump all my stuff. And great. I'm not like Chuck, okay? Like, I love Chuck to death. Chuck is the worst planner in the world for everything he does with this. I'm like, Chuck, I don't know how you survived that long in the military. I just don't get it, bro. He goes, I'm not there anymore. So it's just kind of like this. I'm like, yeah, I get it. And it's funny because I'm like, Chuck, you should leave 2 days early. I got to do this. I'm like, no, you don't have to do this, Chuck. It's just that you put that shit off that long, Chuck, and Mary's going to beat you, like, religiously. And he's like, bro, I'm so tired. I flew in, red eye, got my car, and now my class. I'm like, yeah, dog, you know you could have left a day and a half early, right, or 2 days early. And, you know, I know, but, like, it's so good. I like having fun with Chuck like that. It's great. But like, he's another good dude on this stuff. You know,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Courses. There's a lot of good instructors out there. And I tell dudes, go see them all, man. Just go see everybody. There's nothing really different in what anybody else is teaching anymore. You know, there's no magical this. There's no magical this. Like, you grab the gun, you press a lever. You know, it really is that easy. But people are looking for this very Zen, deeper, whatever meaning of how to pull a lever straight back to the rear. And we tell people, like, you know, man, that 65-year-old grandmother in downtown, you know, whereverville, who picked up a rusty stolen High Point carbine that she's had forever, shot 3 of the 5 home invaders in her house. You think she knew anything about grip? You think she knew anything about sight alignment, sight picture, and fundamentals, and she had a good stance?
No, she just ripped it.
No, dude, she got it on. Like that is a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, be proficient, be safe, be smart, you know, and that's about it, and learn enough. Yeah, it really is. That's it. This is nothing new.
And watch the Big Tex Ordnance Podcast. And
always watch the Big Tex Ordnance Podcast and buy things from them, because I'm about to go get some scout lights because I need some new lights for some stuff for some
demos. We have gift cards for you, too.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah, some gift cards coming at class. Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. Yep. That's always going to be a good time. And then, but I need to get some different lights for some demos for students because they're starting to show up with more newer stuff that I don't have. So I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. Because I'm a mod light dude, right? Like, I mean, I have all the lights, but I'm a mod light guy. Like, mod light is the light for me, you know? But I'm like, oh, so I got to go buy one of these. And I've got to go buy this other light and this light just to have so guys can see the comparisons in class. And I can laugh at them and go, ha ha, you should just bought a mod light. and don't, whatever you do, buy a Streamlight HLX 1000. Again, proved itself in course again. Dead in class, middle class guys. Like, it's been good. It's great light. Have you ever used it? Well, yeah. Okay, go way through the class. I'm like, here, bro, let's put this mod light on your rifle. You'll be fine for the rest of the class. So it's always fun, though. It's always good to see stuff break.
Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah. Well, I'm still broken. I've just had back surgery, so I'm still kind of broken. Cares
about he is halfway broken.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about your problems. I don't want to hear it. I need to get rotator cuffs done. I need to get my arm operated.
Get it
again.
Done, Steve. We need you around for another 30 years.
No, I'm done, man. I got 2 more good years, man, and I'm done. I'm packing it up.
Negative.
I'm doing it, man. 55. I'm out like my own retirement plan. I'm gone.
Listen,
just sold out the rest of the year. Just right
now.
No,
no, no. Look, I love Bill Blowers. I think that was the Bill Blowers formula. I always look at that and go, man, if I was like that, I'd do like Bill Blowers. I'm like, man, I'm retiring 5 years out and I'm done. I'm like, I'll fill everything times 5. I'm like, Bill was smart, planned or not. Yeah. I'd love me some Blowers. But I'm like, yeah, that's another dude people should train more with, his Bill. Yeah,
for sure.
I dig Bill a lot, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good cat.
Good dude. We appreciate you coming by.
No, man, I appreciate you guys. It's always a good time, man. I love getting to come over, hang out, see the shop, see everybody, you know, come into the warehouse and go, oh, my God, I need all these things. Here's my charge card, which I'm about to do.
Let's go get a shopping cart.
I'm about to.
And everybody, check us out, bigtexordnance.com. Oh, hold on.
Did you screw that one?
Yeah. Hey, everybody, check us out, bigtexordnance.com. Also, btogear.com for all your gear, soft good needs. Ear Pro, flashlights, gloves,
belts,
all the good stuff. Thanks for tuning in.
And Rolexes.
G-Shocks.
G-Shocks. Oh, just like a Rolex.